Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here this morning. Can you hear me all right? Oh, good. Let's start off by thanking the band. Now, I'll tell you why I say that, because they haven't had because people have been on holiday and been away, they haven't had the opportunity to rehearse. And if you're a musician, like what I am, then you will know that you really feel quite uncomfortable if you don't have an opportunity to rehearse. And yet they've come up here and they've played for us anyway. So let's give them a big round of applause. Thank you very, very, very much. Do you know, back in 2013, set off on a road trip with my wife, Sally Ann, and we travelled all the way from Chicago to Los Angeles on Route 66, yes. And I was particularly excited because, well, I'm always excited, but there was one place that I wanted to visit, well, as much as any other, and it was a place called Springfield, Illinois. I know, you never heard of it. Springfield, Illinois, because that was, well, it wasn't the home, but it's where one of my all-time heroes spent much of his life. He started his career as a lawyer in a legal profession, and then he became a politician. And I was wondering whether you might guess who it is, but I'm going to give you a clue, so just hang on a minute, because here's a clue. Can you guess who it is? Guy Fawkes? No, it's not Guy Fawkes. Look at this. Look, you can, look at that. It's a spitting image, isn't it? Come on, be honest. It is the spitting image. Be honest about that. Oh. How these, do you know these blokes walk around with these big beards? I don't know how they do it. Anyway. Pardon? I haven't got the ear. Well, I have actually. Anyway, moving on. Great, great, great president. The 16th president of the United States. And just a brilliant man. He definitely is my hero. There's lots of great things he did. For example, he's the only president to ever have a patent. Now, I have to confess, I don't quite understand this particular contraption that he had patented, but it seems that a couple of times he went out on a boat and he got stuck on a sandbar. So he invented this thing which went around the bottom of the boat, and if it got stuck, it got pumped full of air and it lifted the boat up so that it went across the sandbar. I know, how does that work? But he had it patented. He was just such a great man, he had this patented. And then he was, does that say the national? No, I've already said that. He was the 16th president of the United States, which, you know, that's quite a big achievement, I would say. Yeah, he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, which led to the abolition of slavery. What does that mean? Well, during the Civil War, he signed a declaration which said that black people could join the Union Army, which was, you know, we might not think much of that now, but that was a huge step forward. So they could join the Union Army, and eventually, of course, that led to the 13th Amendment, which was the abolition of slavery. And it's quite sad because that came into force in December 1865, but of course, as you all know, what do you know? Yes, Lincoln was assassinated in April of that year. He actually never saw it come into force. And then we have this, the next one is about banking. Again, it's not very exciting, but he established a national bank, and that made a tremendous difference to the finances of the United States, and he brought into being just one currency. They had lots of different currencies at the time, so he was the man that did that. He led the Union to victory, of course. Now, we think we have some difficulties in our country right now with the whole Brexit thing, but my goodness, compared to what he was facing in America at the time, it really was as nothing. And so he led the Union through that terrible civil war to victory. And it was no mean thing. He needed all his wisdom, all his leadership skills So that was a fantastic achievement. And then, and I really, really think this was just showed how great a man he was. He started planning for the peace before the end of the war. So he was planning for the reconstruction. He was planning to win the peace, actually. And of course, sadly, again, it was only, I think, 6 days after the end of the Civil War that he was assassinated. But he'd already got plans in place to enable that to happen. And many people believe that he is, and I'm one of them, the greatest of all the American presidents because of all these achievements and many more. So much so that his face appears on a $5 American bill. So he was a great man. He was full of wisdom. He's great leadership skills. But there are things that you might not be aware of because he had another particular characteristic which I wanted to share with you this morning. Because in 1832, he lost his job. I don't know if anybody here has ever been made redundant or lost your job. It's really, really a hard blow and a setback. In 1833, he'd started a business. He was in the law profession, but it failed. His business failed. And then he was defeated for the legislature, but later on he was actually appointed into the legislature. Now this was a real terrible blow because the love of his life was Anne Rutledge, and they were engaged to be married, but sadly she died. She died in 1835. In 1836... he had a nervous breakdown, and that's a lot of people wouldn't realise about Abraham Lincoln. He had a nervous breakdown through all the pressures that he was under. Then in 1838, he was defeated for the role of Speaker of the House. In 1843, he was defeated again for the nomination for Congress. In 1846, though, he was elected to Congress. In 1848... in 1848, he lost the renomination. In 1849, he was rejected for land office. In 1854, he was defeated for the Senate. And in 1856, he was defeated for the nomination of vice president. And in 1858, he was again defeated for the Senate. But in 1860, he was elected president. And what this shows me, and this is one of the things that impresses me more than anything else, his perseverance. He was knocked back. He faced great issues in his life, in his personal life, in his political life. But he persevered again and again and again and again. So much so that eventually he was elected as president. And I want to talk more about perseverance this morning because it's really key for us as a characteristic. But before we do that, I think Megan's going to come and speak to us. No, sorry, there's one more thing. One more thing. If anybody here this morning under the age of 15, and I don't want any cheating, let your conscience be your guide, can tell me how tall was Abraham Lincoln, then they can have this $5 bill. So I don't want any cheating. Was he about as tall as me without the hat? About 5 foot 10 or 11? Was he taller than that? Was he shorter than that? What do you say? How much? Another one of my heroes from the Old Testament. But before we do that, I want to look at a few verses that were written by James, the brother, the half-brother of Jesus, about this whole business about perseverance. Yeah. So he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. So perseverance. So my second hero from the Old Testament is a man who, as far as I'm concerned, personified perseverance. He persevered again and again and again. And we're going to have a look at that this morning. I'm talking, of course, about Moses. Moses was he was just amazing the way he kept persevering. Now, many of us will know the story. We know, and we're going to talk more about when he goes to Pharaoh to ask the Israelites to be set free to go and worship God. But even before that, potentially he has used setbacks. Do you know, even before he was born, an edict goes out from Pharaoh saying that that all male babies that are born have to be murdered, killed by the midwives. So even before he's born, potentially he's got a setback. But fortunately, his parents get around that, and he ends up in Pharaoh's palace. He gets brought up. Then he sees a fight taking place between an Egyptian and an Israelite, and he kills one of the Egyptians. And then Pharaoh sets out to kill him, and he flees and he goes into the desert for many years. And then when he's 80, he has a supernatural encounter with God. It's a burning bush, actually, and he says to him, "I want you to go back into Egypt, and I've got something for you to do." And so begins a great adventure. Now, I'm going to need two volunteers to help me with this. And these are the two volunteers I've chosen. Would you like to come up, boys? Give them a round of applause and encourage them. Yep, both of you. So if one of you still stands, you come over this side. And you stand over there, Luke. So one of you is God. I think it's you. So you're going to be God, and you're going to be Pharaoh. And I am going to be Moses. Okay. So Moses is told to go to God. God tells him to come along, and he says to him, "I want you to go to Pharaoh." Yeah, you have to point. That's it. That's all you have to do. I do all the talking. Like that's going to happen. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go into the desert for 3 days to worship me. And that's what you say, go. Okay. And if he doesn't do that, then there's going to be consequences. So I go to Pharaoh and I say, "Would you let my people go?" Well, they want to go into the desert for 3 days to worship God. Would you do that? Well, if you don't, I'm going to turn the River Nile into blood. Would you do that? Would you let them go?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I'll tell you. No. No. Okay. So This is where it's all going smoothly now, because the river of blood should appear on the stage, but it's not happened. Oh, hang on, it's coming. Oh, here we are. So the river of blood comes. All right, don't big up your part too much. So will you now let my people go?
No.
So I go back to God and I said, He said no. So what should I do? What should I do? Just point. Go back and tell. Right. So I'm telling you, you've got to let my people go. If you don't let them people go, there are going to be consequences. This time there's going to be a plague of frogs. Will you let my people go?
No.
No. There's a plague of frogs. Are we done with the frogs? Okay. So, there's a big frog. So I go back to God and I say, what shall I do? Go back again. Really? Or there'll be consequences. Right. You've got to let the people go 3 days in the desert to worship God, all right? Are you sure? Because there's going to be consequences.
Sure.
Okay. So in that case, what have we got this time? A plague of gnats. Oh, so everybody's going to, oh, what? All over us. Itching. Yeah, plague of gnats. Well, I tried it, but he's still saying no. So what do I do? Go back again. And you already know he's not going to listen to me. Why are you keep saying, oh, okay, I'll go back. Right.
What's it now?
You're ad-libbing. Right. God's told me, and I'm telling you, you've got to let the people go, otherwise there's going to be consequences, severe consequences this time. Will you let them go?
No.
Right. In that case, there's a plague of flies. Will you let them go now?
No.
Oh. He's still saying no, so what shall I do? Shall I go back again?
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, you've got to let the people go, otherwise it's going to be severe. We need to go into the desert for 3 days to worship God. Is that all right? Yes?
No.
What did you give him for breakfast? Calm down, Pharaoh.
No.
All right, there will be severe consequences this time because there's all their livestock. All the livestock are going to be killed. All the Egyptian, not the Israelites, but just the Egyptian livestock. Oh, hang on. So, he's still saying no. What should I do now? Again? Are you sure? Right. Now, you thought that was bad. You better let people go, otherwise there's going to be severe problems. We need to go. Go into the desert just for 3 days. Is that all right?
Let me think about that. How about no?
Never work with kids. Yes, okay. Right, that's it then. This time, a plague of boils on people and animals. Oh, this is bad. Oh, no. Oh, we got boils everywhere. This is really bad. Are you sure? All right. Okay. Look, even the boils, he's not going to have it. He's just not saying no all the time. So what should I do now? Get back again. Are you sure? But you're already telling me you won't listen. Right, you thought that was bad. You better let this go. We need to go into the desert for 3 days to worship God, all of us. Yeah, all of us, lock, stock and barrel. Okay, yes?
How many times do I have to say no?
Right, you asked for it. This time, there's going to be a hailstorm throughout Egypt, and you asked for this. Yes, a hailstorm. Hang on, God, what are you doing? Wait. Well. God, come back. Right. It didn't work, right? He won't have it. It's pointless, Mickey. What shall I do now? Again? Right. No. So, will you let the people go? Please, let's just go. We only want to go for 3 days. We just want to go and worship God. That's all I'm saying. Is that all right? Yes?
No.
Right. You've really asked for it this time. This time, a plague of locusts throughout the land.
What's locusts?
Well, either. Oh, look, locusts everywhere. Locusts. So will you now let the people go?
No.
He keeps saying no, I can't. This point, he just won't have it. He's not, I can't. What shall I do? Again?
Yeah.
Right. All I'm saying is 3 days in desert Can we do that? Oh, please. Right, you've asked for it. There's going to be a plague of darkness now. How are we going to, for 3 days? Oh, hang on. Everywhere is going to go dark. Use your imagination. It's all gone dark.
Close your eyes.
Hey, I do the talking. You're only Pharaoh. Right, well, it's gone dark. I don't know what to do now. What should we do? Back again. But this time, it's really going to be bad. Really?
Yeah.
All the firstborn are going to die?
Yeah.
Humans?
Yeah.
Animals?
Yeah.
They're all going to die if he don't... Okay. You need to let the people go or else it's going to be severely... It's going to be a real problem. A real problem. Because all the firstborn are going to die. And the animals. Are there any... If you're a firstborn here, will you stand up? If you're a firstborn, so now, what's your answer? Yes or no?
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. But you said I said
no, not this.
Oh. No.
No, right, all sit down because you're all dead now. You're all dead. So everybody dies. So now what? Now, this is the time. Go.
Go.
Right. Okay. So now we go. So now we've been set free. That's it. Give them a round of applause. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. Go sit down now. Do you know, whenever I guess most of us here this morning will know that story, but whenever I read that story, I can't help but just admire Moses. His persistence, his perseverance. He's even told by God on occasions, go back and say this, but he won't listen. And you think, well, but he still does it. And you might think then, well, it's all done now. So they've been set free and off they go. But no, of course, they come to the Red Sea and then the Israelites start whinging and moaning. God makes a way through and so they get to the other side. So it's all fine. No! They go on moaning and complaining about water, about food, and then they get to the edge of the promised land and they won't go in. And then Moses is told, because he disobeys God, he doesn't do exactly what he should do regarding water supply. And he's told by God, well, you're never going to get into the promised land. It's never going to happen for you. But he still perseveres. He still leads them along. He still takes them right up to the edge of the promised land. It is an amazing story in perseverance. It really, really is. In fact, the man was incredible. Thank you so much. As Simon said, we've been away this past week, Kat as well, to New Wine. And we are fired up, but we have no idea what's going on. So you'll have to bear with us. So I wanted to look again at that verse. That James wrote, because I think there's so much in it that we can really take. He says, it's pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So you may be here this morning and you may not call yourself a follower of Jesus, a Christian. You may not sort of feel like that. And what I want to say to you is keep searching, keep looking, keep persevering. Because I don't know how else to say this to you, but there is this treasure that's beyond anything that this world can offer. And you may not have found it yet, but I just want to encourage you to persevere, to keep looking, to keep searching. And we here at East Hampstead Baptist Church will help you to do that. If that's what you'd like, just come and talk to us. And just please, please, please keep persevering because it's absolutely the right thing to do and it's worth it. But if you are here and you say, well, I'm a Christian, actually, I do follow Jesus. Then think about this verse. What sort of tests and trials might you be facing right now, actually, or you might face in the future, and you may well have done in the past? It could be to do with relationships. I mean, let's be honest, relationships can be really testing, can't they? I can think of many that I have thought, do you know what, I'm just going to give up with this. This person, whatever, for whatever reason. But actually, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to persevere, persevere, persevere. Jesus said, didn't he, turn the other cheek. Not always easy. In fact, in my experience, it's really, really hard. But persevere anyway. Could be finances. Some of us may be struggling with our finances. And that can be hard because you really don't know which way to turn. And it's all very well me standing here saying persevere, but how do you do that? What do you do? Well, there are organisations that can help. And again, if that's you and you'd like some advice on that, where to go, then we could help with that. Or it may be your health. And that's a really tough one. You know, that is really tough. Just, again, for me to stand and say, oh, I just persevere. Really, it can be very, very hard if your health is not good. And you may be that you're being tested, maybe facing that trial. It could be to do with work. It could be something else. But you know, I've come to believe over the last few years that the greatest test and the greatest trial that a Christian, a follower of Jesus, faces are those times and those periods when it just seems that, well, our prayers, they're dry. They just, God's not listening maybe. They're bouncing off the ceiling. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. And it is so hard to persevere. Why bother? Why bother, you feel? Or you pick up your Bible and you open your Bible, you read maybe a few pages, and you think, it doesn't mean anything. What is this all about? It's just, you have no enthusiasm for it at all. Maybe it's coming to church, you know. It's just a chore now. I do go, but it's really a bit of a chore. I don't really want to go. I don't have any real enthusiasm or passion for it. Or maybe it's a life group. Maybe you think, I won't bother this evening. I can always go next week or some other time. Do you know, this is dangerous. This is really dangerous, period. And it is a real test for us and a real trial for us as well. Because we can easily stop persevering in these times. But you know, Jesus' ministry begins by, he teaches his disciples that perseverance is absolutely essential to their own commitment. And he says, and it's recorded in Matthew's account of his life, chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, and he says this to them. He says, you need to enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. There are many who take it. I would call this drift. You know, those times when I'll go next week. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll read my Bible another time. It's drift. If you're a driver or even if you're a passenger and you've been on the motorway and maybe you're following a vehicle in front, and suddenly you notice it starts drifting. It's drifting. It's drifting across into this lane or that lane. And there's danger. Maybe the driver of that vehicle is losing their tire. They're losing focus. They're losing where they are. I don't know. But they're drifting, and they're drifting into danger. And our spiritual lives can be like that. We can start to drift, and we drift, and we drift, and we go off of that narrow road that Jesus was talking about. He says, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And they don't find it because they drift off. Maybe they did, but now they've drifted away again. And he makes it really clear. He could have said there, you need to persevere. You need to keep on, persevere day after day, day after day. And of course, we've been talking about heroes, and I've talked about a couple of my heroes this morning, but my all-time hero, of course, is Jesus. He faced adversity, didn't he? When he was on this earth, he faced adversity from his family. His family actually thought he was mad at one time. And maybe you would if your brother or sister or son or whatever came and said, I'm the Messiah. But they thought he was mad. His disciples disowned him when he went to the cross. They didn't want to know him. The people, they were really fickle because in that week when he went to the cross, when he goes into Jerusalem, they're all cheering him and it's great and it's wonderful. And then they turn on him. He faced that sort of adversity. Religious leaders, political leaders were against him. But he kept on. He had that perseverance that we all need. And he did not give up. And I say, thank God that he didn't give up. He went to the cross for each one of us. He paid a price that we couldn't pay and can't pay. It's amazing. But he did it because he persevered and he went on. And so we need to do that. We need to maintain our focus and persevere through times of struggle and strife. You know, I'm just going to get something here I left on the chair that I read this week while I've been away at New Wine. And it's something that Mother Teresa had on her wall. And I intend to put this on the wall at home in my office. Because it really does, when I was reading it, I was thinking about perseverance, and this just struck me, and I thought, my goodness, this is how it is in life. This is what we need to do. This is how we need to be. So I'm going to have a card done, and I'm going to put it in my office, and if you'd like something similar, then I'll have some done for you as well. But this is what she's got in her office. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some false friends and some true enemies. Be successful anyway. If you're honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them. Anyway, persevere, persevere. The gate is narrow and the road is hard, but the reward is eternal. The reward is eternal. Now, I wasn't here last week, but Steph introduced us to the Million Brick Wall. Were everybody here last week? I know some of us weren't. We were away. But the Million Brick Wall, I'm not going to go all through it again because I'm going to say to you, go to our website. It's there on the website. I've listened to it. You can listen to it too. But on this wall, and we've got our own wall here, people were encouraged last week to write prayers. It could be like international prayers for international whatever it is in other countries. It could be in our town. It could be in your life. It could be anything, actually. So people were encouraged to write down these prayers and put them on the wall. And there's the wall there. And so if you weren't here this week and you'd like to take part in that, can I encourage you after the service, we've got the things here to do that, to put your own prayer on. But here's the thing. Prayer is not a one-off thing. You know, there was a great irony when we were talking about this series, and I think the person that said it didn't realize the irony when they said it. They said, well, we've done perseverance not long ago, so we don't need to do that again. I just smiled, and I thought, well, yeah, okay, think about it. But it's like that with prayer. Yeah, we did it last week. You did it last week. But that's not the end. It's not like, tick, I've done that. We need to persevere. We really do. We need to persevere with prayer.